God took his prophet Jonah to go, told his prophet Jonah to go to Nineveh. We studied that last week, the capital city of Assyria. They were Gentiles, enemies of Israel, a violent people. We shared that last week. But he said, I want you to preach to them so they can be saved. We shared last week how God wants us to share to the evil, the ungodly, because they need to be saved. And God tells us to go to different places and share with different people because God loves them. But Jonah hated them. He didn't want them saved. And we ended last time with verse 3, where Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, but he arose. He went to Tarshish, way in the other direction, out into the sea. Tried to get away from the presence of the Lord. Found a ship going to Tarshish, many miles across the sea in the opposite direction. We read where he paid the fare, wasted his money, running from the Lord, and went with them, with the unbelievers, into the world. Bad decision. The message today is the rebellious prophet. He's disobedient to the Lord and is rebelling. Were you ever a rebellious child with the Lord? You know what happens? You get spanked. He's against God's command and will for him. He knows that the Lord is merciful and gracious and would save these people. And he doesn't want to see them saved. So he runs away from God's command. And when you do that, just like Jonah, he's going to suffer the consequences, and all who try to run from God and his call upon their life do suffer. You get chastised. Jonah was in the flesh. However, God still loves Jonah. He doesn't give up on his people. Isn't that good? I love that verse. When we are not faithful, he still is. Isn't that wonderful? He wasn't going to let the prophet get away with it. So chastising, discipline is in order to get Jonah where he should be. Many times God has to use the rod of correction on us. We don't like that. In Jonah's case, he's going to have Jonah take a time out. You know how parents have children take a time out today? He's going to take a time out in a very dark place. A lonely place, alone with God. Jonah fled, but you can't run from God. We pick it up in verse 4. But the Lord, Jonah goes into the ship, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. You notice God, and all of this, it's God who does it. God sent out a great wind. Tells us in verse 4. Now, in verse 4, where it says he sent out a great wind, the word is literally hurled. Can you see God hurling from heaven is this great storm, this great wind, all because of this rebellious prophet. When we rebel, other people suffer. We think we're not hurting anybody, but we are. We hurt those around us. However, but the same is true with a blessing. When we're being blessed by the Lord and we're blessing the Lord, those around us get blessed. Isn't that wonderful? God sent on a wind, and the ship was about to be broken up. Jonah is on this ship in the Mediterranean Sea that is about to be broken up, going to Tarshish, which is in southern Spain. So you can see he's heading far away from Israel. He's supposed to go in the other direction. Now, God didn't ask Jonah to get on a ship, did he? He headed out on his own west on the sea. God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh, which is on land east. So he put himself in that position. When we rebel, we often find ourselves on the troubled sea, and we ask God, why is this happening to me? And God's probably saying, why are you on the sea? Why did you put yourself where you are? Verse 4, God sent out the storm. He's in charge. There's a reason for it. He wants to restore Jonah to a right place in his life and to bring him to obedience so that God can get his work done. See, sometimes God may want to use you to minister to a certain person or at a certain place. And if you're rebellious, God's going to deal with you, get you to the point of willing to do it, and then bring you there and allow you to be the vessel to share with that person or at that place. That's how it works. We humans just like to do what we want to do. We don't like to do something different. God says, no, I want you to do that. Well, no, that's not my thing. I don't wash windows. Sorry, God. You're going to have to get somebody else. Well, the servant will do anything, right? So, verse 5, the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God. So we can see they're heathens, they idol worshipers, worship other gods. Threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, laying down and was fast asleep. We studied that last week. He's going downhill, down, down, down. This is amazing. There's a storm, the ship's being broken up, and this guy is asleep in the bottom of the ship. And they were afraid, but Jonah isn't. He's fast asleep. He has a hardened heart, rebellious heart. So often, we suffer because of our disobedience, and we separate ourselves, and we don't seem to be concerned about anyone or anything. We're so into ourselves, and that's where Jonah was. He thinks he's okay. Hey, I got out of doing what God wanted me to do, and I can sleep. That's the sad part. Our flesh sometimes thinks, hey, we're okay in the world. I'm okay doing this. I'm okay not obeying the Lord. Well, God's going to get you. Verse 6, so the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? The captain was probably shocked. Because the owner says, this guy's sleeping. We're ready to die. What do you mean, sleeper? See, the captain's concerned. He wants help. We read where his God and the God of these people hasn't helped them. Seems their gods aren't working that day. He asked Jonah to call on his God. He says, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Hey, we've tried everything else. Call on your God. Maybe your God will help us. See, they believed in many gods. There's only one true living God, Jehovah God, the Creator. Aren't you glad our God never sleeps? He hears us when we call. Sometimes we think he doesn't, but he does. He hears us when we call. I read something yesterday that was very profound. The greatest stress in this life is the stress of waiting on God. Whew. Isn't that tough? I says, wow, that's really profound. That's the greatest stress. Our God hears, but sometimes he doesn't meet our time frame. So verse 7, and they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, and we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. It was common in this day to cast lots, roll dice, pick straws, cast lots. We see that in the book of Proverbs, verse 16:33. Even God worked that way. To give people an answer, they would cast lots or pick straws, and God would say, here's your answer. We don't do that today because we have the Holy Spirit. So we don't get involved in those kind of things today, but they did in that day. That's the way he spoke to people. Plus, these guys are not believers on Jehovah God. So they cast lots, and they says, somebody's bringing trouble on this boat, and we want to know who it is. So they cast lots, and Jonah fell on Jonah. Now, in Numbers 32, verse 23, it says, your sin will find you out. Do you ever think you got away with it and you didn't? Your sin will find you out. God is in this because Jonah is his prophet. Verse 7. And they said to one another, verse 7, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. They cast lots, and lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us, Jonah, whose cause is this trouble is on? Why is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? Tell us, Jonah, where are you from? What's going on here? What's your occupation? Where are you from? What country are you from? You're causing us grief here. Who is this guy? What has he done? So Jonah answers them. So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, one of the Jews. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. First of all, he says, I'm a Hebrew. Well, that's true, one of Jehovah God's people. But then he says, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Do you think he's telling the truth there? I don't think so. I fear God. People say, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But then you look at their lifestyle and I don't think so. He has the nerve to say, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Wow. The creator of all. He was right in saying that, but he was lying when he says, I fear the Lord. If he feared the Lord, he'd be going to Nineveh. He wouldn't be running away or disobedient. Jonah has lessons to learn. The question is, do we fear the Lord? Do we reverence the Lord? Or do we rebel? Do our actions show that we fear the Lord? The world needs to see that we Christians fear the Lord. That's why we don't want to live like the world. The world needs to see we obey the Lord, we fear the Lord. What you do is more powerful than what you say. Better for the world to see you obeying the Lord, fearing the Lord, than saying you do. He spoke of God properly, but was a bad witness. We Christians need to be a good witness. Verse 10, then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For these men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. This guy's pretty open and honest. At least he tells them what he did. Yeah, I'm probably the problem because I disobeyed the Lord. I'm running away. I'm hiding, trying to get away from him. And they said, why did you do this? Why? They're exceedingly fearful. They know God's doing this to Jonah. And so they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. So they asked Jonah, what do you think we should do? What should we do to you so that the sea might become calm? They're fearful. So we want to make the sea calm, want to end this. Jonah's the problem. God's dealing with Jonah. What do we have to do to you so that we'll be okay? Verse 12, and he said to them, pick me up, throw me into the sea, and the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Jonah knows he's the problem. When we rebel, we become a troublemaker because God has to deal with us and we affect others. That's why we walk with the Lord and obey the Lord. We want to be a peacemaker. We want to be a blessing to people. Jonah knows he's the problem, but he hasn't learned his lesson yet. He acknowledges he's the problem, but he's so proud that he'd rather die than obey God. Wow. Isn't pride strong? I call pride probably the strongest thing in our life. Men die in their pride. Women die in their pride rather than give in. Pride. See, he acknowledges he's wrong, but he won't give in to God. Won't bow his knee. He won't humble himself. Pride is strong. Pride's one of those topics we can't teach on. How do you teach on pride? I can't get up here and say, well, here's how you're going to solve your pride because I found the way to do it. Well, that's prideful, isn't it? We can't talk about it. It's just there. And God hates it. It's amazing what you will do rather than give in at times. Maybe there's someone in your life that you've caused trouble or been in the midst of it and you won't give in. And it continues. And maybe you don't speak or don't get along or hurt someone or just cold. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Don't hang on to the... Well, it's not pride. It's just that they're wrong. We have different excuses, don't we, for pride. I'm not giving in. And I will admit, men seem to be more prideful than women. But men can really hold on to it. I know I'm a man. Not give in. It's hard for some people to say, I'm sorry. Maybe you need to do that today. Maybe with God. We can even get prideful with God. He was. He admits he's wrong, but he's not going to do what God said. That'll be the day that I do that. I'm not giving in. You see, pride can go over into God. And we continue this separation with God because it's sin. Maybe that's a problem today in your life. The good news is, God is so good. Confess it today. It's over. Isn't that wonderful? God loves Jonah. He doesn't give up on him. He's still got to teach him a lesson. Because he said, I'd rather die than obey you. He says, throw me into the sea. You guys will be okay. I know this great tempest is because of me. Why wouldn't he say, hey, take me back, let me off. I got to go to Nineveh and then you guys will be okay. Nope. It's going to be my way. You know what I found out in life? When you're in this debate or fight with God, it's not like with your parents or your children or others. You never win. He never gives. You can pout and cry and scream and do everything, and he doesn't give. It's us that has to give. Repent and ask for mercy. Worship God. Say, I'll go. He says, throw me overboard. I'm the problem. A pouting, stubborn little child who's going to hold his breath, and God's just going to sit there and say, go ahead, hold your breath. He's not going to give. Rebellion. 1 Samuel 15, if you'd like to turn back there. Remember, Saul was told to wipe out the Amalekites and he didn't? Kill everything? He rebelled against God's word to destroy everything. And in 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, here's what the prophet had to say to Saul. Saul's the one that was rebellious. King Saul. He says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's how bad it is with God. We don't want to rebel against the Lord. It's just like witchcraft. I think sometimes we think some sins are not as bad as others, don't we? Rather than repent, this stubborn guy says, throw me overboard. Now, they don't want to do that, verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. They wanted to go back to land. They said, we don't want to throw this guy overboard. We don't want to do that, what he told us to do. Let's try and get him to some land somewhere. But the sea grew even worse. Why? Because God has a better plan. They were afraid of Jonah's God. They want to spare Jonah and not offend God. So they try to work it out in the flesh. Say, hey, we'll row to land and drop him off. But no, the storm got worse. You see, God's in charge and he has a plan because he's dealing with Jonah. He's got to get Jonah in an isolated place where Jonah's going to learn a lesson. And we only learn our lessons with God in a lonely place. I've told you this before. It's called the College of the Desert. You and God alone. And you learn your lessons. They try to work it out, but it doesn't work. God's in charge, and he's going to do it his way. Now, an amazing thing is happening here in this story. The mariners, remember at first, were believers in other gods? They seem to be taking an interest in Jehovah God now. Isn't it great how God can use all things for good? It's not all wasted. Sometimes you may look back and say, all wasted. No. God uses it. They cried out in verse 14. They cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done this as it pleased you. They cried out to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? God is working through this, showing them his power, that he's real. Working all things together here. You know, we pray, Lord, they were praying, if we throw Jonah overboard, don't destroy us because of this man's life. Do not count us as murderers. You know, they cried out in verse 14. You know, don't let us perish. Don't charge us with innocent blood. We don't want to kill this guy. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. Help us with this situation, Lord. We don't want to be a murderer here. Don't charge us with this man's death. It's not our fault that the storm is here. You're doing as it pleases you. They now acknowledge God and his ways. You know what's interesting? Look at verse 9. Jonah said to them, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. That's what he said in verse 9. Now, what do we read here? And verse 14, we pray, O Lord, don't let us perish for this man's life. Don't charge us with innocent blood, for you're doing as it pleases you. And in verse 16, the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Jonah said he feared the Lord, and he didn't show it. These men who were unbelievers now seem to be interested in Jehovah God, are now fearing the Lord. They're better than him. And so they prayed, verse 15. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. So we know who the problem was and the way God wanted this to end. The sea became calm. You notice how God's in charge of everything? As soon as he gets done what he wants to do, there's calm. Oh, God, when is this going to end? When he's done with you. Please let it be today. You know, day after day, I cry out to God, please let this be over, that be over. Teach me this or show me that. Just praying so that God would just say, okay, it's all over. You ever pray like that? Oh, let it be today, God. Just let it be today. But, and if it goes another day, I have to think, Well, God still has a work. But we have to do it with joy. God still has more work. I don't know about you, but when you look back at some of the hard things in your life and that God took you through, you say, you know what? I never want to do it again, but I thank God for it because it changed me. It drew me closer to you. Sometimes we think things are a curse when they come into our life, when they're really a blessing because they drew us. What is this life all about? God. Working our way out with God to spend eternity with him in heaven. Not about all this other stuff. That's all he cares about, is seeing your pretty face in heaven one day. That's all he cares about. That's eternity. This is short. Whatever we have to go through. Just know God's working it out, working it all together for good. So verse 15, they picked him up, threw him into the sea, and boy, it stopped right away. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Wow, much more than Jonah. What did they do? They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. This is incredible. Such fast conversions. When God speaks, you know, and people have an open heart, they'll find. Jonah said, I fear the Lord. They feared exceedingly. They reverenced him. They were in awe of God. And they saw how harshly God dealt with Jonah. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord. Whatever they had, I don't know. And it says they made vows, probably, to follow God. God will follow you. Get us out of this. We'll follow you. We'll serve you. So God worked mightily in this. God's going to work mightily through this whole book. There's only one stubborn person in the whole book. The one that said he feared the Lord. Isn't that awful? So God worked. What about Jonah now? Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So they threw him overboard. The Lord prepared a fish to swallow him, and he was in there 3 days and three nights. Jonah, no doubt, when they threw him overboard, that it was all over for him. He probably thought, well, this is it. Ever feel that way? Like, hey, this is it. Know this, God loves you, and he won't give up on you. He's just working it out. You notice the Lord prepared a great fish. The Lord is doing all of this. The phrase here, now the Lord prepared a great fish to save Jonah. And he will do whatever it takes to keep you and I where he wants us to be. We can't say it was a whale. We can't say it was a great white shark. We can't compare it to any other fish. And this is where people go wrong, that say, I don't believe this story. That's a hard story to swallow. Jonah. One thing they miss is the beginning of the verse. The Lord prepared this fish. Could be the only one of its kind. So scientists can't prove anything, true or false. The Lord prepared the fish. I always think how, you know, people don't believe in creation, because they date things. It's got to be older than that. Well, when God created everything and he put you as Adam here, how old do you think everything looked? One day or a lot older? He didn't create everything in its infant stage. First day on earth, how old do you think Adam looked? If he was to be dated, they'd say, 35 years old. Well, he was one day old, according to creation, according to science, a lot older. But when God created, it says he created things that weren't seen as though, you know, they were, as though not seen as they were. In Hebrews it says something like that. Well, when we look at something, we can't say that it was created this way, because he created things out of nothing. Not out of things that existed that were so old. And the same thing with preparing a great fish. Well, we can't say, well, man couldn't have lived in there 3 days and three nights. Although they do say now a person could. But who knows what it was like. What it was like inside. We can't compare it to any other fish. Could have been a whale. Because it does say here, a great fish to swallow Jonah. That fish is just waiting for Jonah. Right where Jonah is going to be thrown overboard. Time to eat. Ah, there he is. Welcome to Motel Jonah. Great city, great wind, great storm, great fish, all God's greatness. It was great, and we know the Lord prepared to swallow Jonah. Can't analyze it, wondering if it could be possible. God prepared it. Can you imagine the scene, though? God speaks to this great fish he creates and says to the fish, open wide, go right over here. I have something for you. And there it is, Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of this fish 3 days and three nights. And Jesus, as we studied last week, referred to this when speaking of his death and resurrection. 3 days and three nights. God prepared this fish to swallow Jonah, not chew him up or digest him. Maybe there was a compartment in that fish, I don't know. Air conditioning, direct TV, whatever, no, I don't know. But he creates this fish to swallow Jonah, and there he is, staying there for 3 days and three nights. But we know it wasn't good. It wasn't very comfortable. We're going to see that next week. But God prepared to swallow him, not digest him, 3 days and three nights. Not a comfortable place to be for three nights. And he's there going through this all because of rebellion. All because he disobeyed the Lord. So when you hear the Lord speak, and he speaks through his word or through the Holy Spirit or through other people, listen. Listen. Because you don't want to spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish. Dark, dank, smelly. We're going to see that next week. Next time we get Jonah's review on his stay with the fish. You know how you write reviews on somewhere you stayed? He's going to write a review on how it was to be in this fish for 3 days and three nights. And I think he's going to say, you don't want to be there. So next week we pick it up. And finally, we think that Jonah gets it, but really, does he? We'll see next week. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for being merciful and gracious to us. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your faithfulness. It is so wonderful to have a loving God who doesn't give up on us. We ask you to forgive us of our rebellion at times, Lord. Remove our pride. Soften our heart today if we have to make things right with someone. Work in our lives. Help us, Lord, to obey whatever it is you have for us. We thank you for your lesson today. We don't want to spend 3 days and three nights alone, fearing awful situation. We want wisdom, Lord, so that we do the right thing and spend our days being blessed, just walking with our Lord, hand in hand, having you lead us through life. We don't need to understand it. We just need to follow. I pray we would do that in Jesus' name. Amen.